The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
And good morning. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm Gary Randall. Today is Monday, April the 15th, 2024, in the year of our Lord. On April 15, 1912, the RMS Titanic began listing in the North Atlantic off Newfoundland more than 2.5 hours after it hit an iceberg. 1,514 people died, while less than half that many survived. Today in 1865, President Abraham Lincoln died 9 hours after being shot the night before by John Wilkes Booth at Ford's Theater in Washington. Andrew Johnson became the nation's 17th president. Today in 1892, General Electric Company formed. It formed by the merger of Edison Electric Company and a bunch of other firms. They were incorporated in Schenectady, New York, today in 1892. Today in 1945, during World War II, British and Canadian troops liberated the Nazi concentration camp Bergen-Belsen. Today in 1955, Ray Kroc opened the first franchised McDonald's restaurant in Illinois. Associated Press says this morning, among other things, I quote, "Today in 2009, whipped up by conservative commentators and bloggers, tens of thousands of protesters staged tea parties around the country 3 months into the presidency of Barack Obama. They did so to tap into the collective angst stirred up by a bad economy, government spending, and bailouts." Well, it's true. There were tea parties held all around the country. And Tea Party groups were formed. The IRS, of course, went to work on them immediately, as we remember, trying to do everything they could to thwart their response to the angst, as Associated Press puts it. It's interesting that I wasn't formally involved in any Tea Party groups, but I certainly supported it and do support what they were doing. But were we whipped up by conservatives? Did Rush Limbaugh, the late Rush Limbaugh, whip us up? I don't think so. I think just the conditions. We were sick and tired of what was happening in the country. Barack Obama was trying to remake America, and we didn't want America remade. We like it the way it is. Let's just try to improve it and continue to keep our eyes focused on what the founders saw couple of hundred years ago. That's what they were trying to do. I don't think we were whipped up by anybody. And we're not whipped up now, but we're getting sick and tired of the direction that Barack Obama's cohort is taking this country. I know I'm sick and tired of it. I don't know that I'm whipped up by some commentator. But just an ordinary, average person who looks at the world we live in now, in our country in particular, and we know something is very, very wrong. And there was that same sense when Barack Obama became president. I don't like to be so misrepresented by the press all the time. Every single time they talk about anybody or anything or any group that seems to appear to them to be conservative, they go off on all these words whipped up by conservative commentators and bloggers, as if we're just kind of mindless people out here, the millions of us, waiting for somebody to whip us up. Enough said. Let's move on. Today in 2019, fire swept across the top of the Notre Dame Cathedral. The soaring Paris landmark underwent renovations. The blaze collapsed the cathedral's spire and spread to one of its landmark rectangular towers, but fire officials said at the time the church's structure had been saved, and apparently it has been. They've made great progress in restoring that building. in the years following 2019. There's a new study out from Gallup this morning. They say they're finding that Americans are sleeping less and we're all more stressed. Maybe we're all whipped up by not sleeping. Women particularly, Gallup says, those under age 50 report sleeping less than they need and higher stress levels than men. Washington, D.C. This article was published through Washington, D.C. I quote, "For the first time in Gallup polling since 2001, a majority of U.S. adults, 57%, said they would feel better if they got more sleep, while 42% say they get as much sleep as they need. This is nearly a reversal of the figures last measured in 2013, when 56% of Americans got the sleep they needed and 43% did not. Americans' perception that they aren't getting enough sleep is borne out by diminished number of hours of sleep that they report getting per night," Gallup said. It's a kind of a lengthy report, but I just picked a couple of things out of it. They go on to say that these differences in average sleep reflect substantial changes over time in the percentage of U.S. adults sleeping 8 or more versus 5 hours or less per night. In 1942, they say, 59% were getting 8-plus hours of sleep, while 3% reported getting 5 hours or less. By 1990, the percentage reporting 8 or more hours had fallen to 27%, while the proportion getting 5 or less was up to 14%. Today, they say a quarter are still getting 8 hours plus, but the percentage getting 5 or less has risen to 20%. So we're sleeping less and we're more stressed, and they're making the connection from this survey that they did that the two are linked together. I'm sure they are, but the other part of it that I don't think they really got into in the study, I didn't have time to really review all of it. There's a lot there. But I think what they didn't cover was what's driving the stress, and they probably will do that or have done it in another survey that they did. But I think the stress in America is there's so much, I mean, there's just so much wrong, and no one seems to be rising to the occasion with any answers. It's amazing to me. Senator John Kennedy, the Republican from Louisiana, the guy that's so fun to listen to when he talks, he's an interesting guy, very conservative, very well-spoken in his Louisiana way. He called on President Biden to take a stronger stance against Iran after his administration reportedly advised Israel not to launch a response after Tehran fired hundreds of missiles and drones at the Jewish state on Saturday. Kennedy addressed Iran's attack during his appearance on Fox News Sunday yesterday, as I said, criticizing Biden's support of Israel as less than ironclad. I would say that is true, probably an understatement, but it's true plus. In the past 60 days, he said, we have seen President Biden go wobbly in his support of Israel. Kennedy said, with respect, go to Amazon and buy a spine online. Peace through weakness never works. Not with these hard-armed men. That is so true. We have become soft in America. We've become preoccupied with how we feel about our sexuality. And do we really think we're men or women? And men have a right to have babies, just like women do. I mean, really. I'm not overstating it. We become so obsessed with all of this kind of thing. I've said this before, and I say it with great restraint. Can we fight and win a war today? I mean, yes, we have some outstanding. Our sons and daughters are in the military. But are we hardened enough in the military? The military isn't a social justice experiment. It's certainly not a woke or a LGBTQ haven, a safe space, but they've made it that. Milley and others, he's retired now, but others like him, I mean, they've been promoting this stuff for years. Could we I hope we can. I pray we can. But you have to ask yourself sometimes, are we strong enough? Are we steely enough? The greatest generation? My father and mother's generation? Many of you? I mean, they were good people, God-fearing people. They loved their country. And they went to hell and back to defend this country in World War II. If it comes to that, are we ready for that in this generation? In response to Iran's unprecedented attack against Israel over the weekend, President Joe Biden released the following statement. And this is a criticism. It's the following statement. The President of the United States said earlier today, Iran and its proxies operating out of Yemen, Syria, and Iraq launched an unprecedented air attack against military facilities in Israel. I condemn those attacks in the strongest possible terms. Now, he went on, but I want to stop right there. Those were the first words out of his mouth to America and the world after Iran attacked Israel. The reason I draw attention to this is that there's one massive problem, excuse me, with what he was saying. It's a lie. We could call it an untruth, but it's a lie. He's not telling the truth. And if I know that, surely he knows it. It's the proxies operating out of Yemen, Syria, and Iraq. They launched this unprecedented attack. At what? At military facilities in Israel. No, they didn't. Iran didn't simply target Israeli military sites, and everybody knows it. Those bombs and the drones and all the missiles and all this that was coming in on Israel were aimed all over the country. They weren't aimed. They didn't hit them, thankfully, but they were aimed at everybody. It wasn't just military. Why would he say that? Why would he open with that statement? Say, well, they were firing at the military. Does he want to play down the egregious thing that they did? I don't know what he's thinking is. I mean, I don't know if he knows what he's thinking is, but why would he say that when it simply is a lie? It's not true. They didn't aim those missiles at military sites. Perhaps some of them were, but for the most part, they weren't. You could see the trajectory of them, and you could see where they were going. And fortunately, Israel, with the help of the United States and even Syria, helped out. But they shot them down. And only, 1% of them, just a couple, hit the ground, and there were virtually no casualties except one Bedouin girl somewhere in a kind of a remote area was injured pretty seriously, I think, by one of the missiles that had been shot down. But, I mean, the massive destruction that could have taken place, these were not aimed at military installations. Why would he stand up and tell a lie like that? Because it's so often we don't get the truth. And once again, he's making it something other than what it is. That simply is not at all what happened. And he goes on and gave a speech and so on and so forth. But it's very discouraging to see such a lack of integrity in the highest office in the land. We now know that by Friday, Iran launched an attack on Israel a day after President Joe Biden warned Tehran not to do it. When he was asked by reporters on Friday what message he wanted to send to Iran regarding an attack on Israel, President Biden leaned into the microphone and he said in a loud whisper, "Don't." One word, paused, and he said, "Don't." That was his message to Iran. Well, that's a good message. I mean, if it's backed up with something. He said, "We devoted we're devoted to the defense of Israel, he said. He added to that, don't. He said, we will support Israel, we will defend, we will help defend Israel, and Iran will not succeed. But a day after the president threatened Iran with don't do it, Iran heard him and launched a direct attack on Israel. That's what this kind of leadership or lack thereof puts on the stage of the world. Nobody believes him, and they don't really care what he says. And that's not good for our country. It's not good for all of us. There's chaos and confusion on every front. Biden was planning on spending the weekend at Rehoboth Beach, where he has that beach house, but he returned earlier in the day. He was slated to meet with his national security team in the Situation Room. There were reports that he would address the nation from the Oval Office as this thing was happening in the world. I mean, the world was focused on this. But then they called a lid. That means no more access to the president. The press can't talk to him or anything when they call a lid. And he does that all the time. All the presidents do, but none more than he does. But anyway, he called a lid at 5:13 p.m. in the afternoon. By that time, Iran was firing missiles at Israel, and the whole world was trying to figure out what's going on. They needed to hear from a leader. No, didn't hear from our leadership. Their drones were en route, as he could have spoken, to do massive destruction in Israel. As I said, fortunately, 99% of the missiles and the drones were shot down before they reached their target, which wasn't necessarily military bases. Several that were not shot down caused minor damage, as we said, one a Bedouin girl, and that's very unfortunate. By late Saturday evening, CNN was reporting, CNN was reporting that Biden was telling Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu the United States would not participate in a counterstrike against Iran. What? He had just said he was supporting Israel. It reminds us of the truth in God's word. A double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. I know it's politics. I understand. But can't politicians have some moral basis? Can't they take stands and have deeply held beliefs? Or is it all just air in politics? I hope it isn't. But sometimes it looks like it. Critics slammed Biden for weakness on Iran. I was surprised by the strength of the response. This Cliff Sims, he's a former senior Trump administration official. He posted on X, formerly Twitter. He said Biden reversed all of Trump policies that made Iran weaker and poorer. Now they're spending all the money that Biden gave them attacking Israel, terrorizing the world, and threatening to plunge us into World War III. There was a lot of people saying that. It reminded me of, remember the $6 billion in cash that Obama delivered to Iran in the middle of the night on that pallet? And somebody got pictures of it. I mean, you know, once iPhones became a part of our life, everybody has a camera. Well, somebody had a camera and they were taking video of that. And in the middle of the night, this plane, an unmarked plane, comes into Tehran. I guess it was at the airport in Tehran, and they unloaded this pallet. It was like you'd have sacks of wheat or something on it. It was dollar bill. I mean, it was money. It was U.S. money. And these people, whomever, got a picture of it, and it got on the internet, and everybody saw it. And they were it was $6 billion in U.S. money. And they were giving them that for a ransom, Obama was, for a ransom to release six people. Well, we want people released, but $6 billion? Anyway, that's what he was doing. It reminded me of that. Trump set up policies immediately when he came into office that kept U.S. taxpayer funds from going to Iran, especially keeping them financially broke or financially hurting, and unable to launch these kinds of attacks. Now Biden has reversed Trump's policies, and he's returned to Obama's policies regarding Iran. That's the part of the problem here. And Iran knows it. They think, wow, you know, this is great. Biden will get up and he'll shout and he'll whisper into the mic and he'll do all these things, but he's not going to respond. He's not going to do anything. They know that. They didn't know what Trump would do. I don't know if Trump knew what he would do in advance, but he always reacted and responded in a way that was favorable to our country, I believe. The Times of Israel is reporting yesterday. They said sirens and explosions were heard nationwide in Israel early Sunday morning as Iran launched a wave of more than 300 drones and missiles at the country in its first ever direct attack on the Jewish state. This is the Times of Israel. While a list of sites Iran tried to hit has not been publicized by Tehran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, which launched the drones and the missiles, the main target of the attack appeared to be a sensitive airbase in southern Israel. But everybody that was there that I've seen writing stories are saying, yes, there were missiles aimed at the military bases, but there were tons of them, dozens and dozens and dozens of them that were not. And that's the problem. I mean, it's a problem to be aimed at the military bases, but just randomly launched in the sky into parts of Israel. Had they been successful, and they were not. They were shot down by us and Israel, a couple of others. That was the problem. The reason they targeted that one, the one airbase at Nevatim is because the F-35, it's a stealth fighter jet, the military's most advanced aircraft, is based there. And they were trying to take that out. They didn't succeed with that either. But I had to compare that. And again, I'm not promoting Trump. I mean, I mean, if you're looking at Trump and Biden, for me, it's an easy decision. I mean, it's like eating an ice cream cone, as our president likes to do. It's an easy one. If I were picking someone to be president of the United States, would it be Donald Trump? I don't know. But I mean, that's the reality of where we live. That, and boy, to me, it seems like an easy choice. Trump responded, obviously. He said before going any further, he was at a Pennsylvania campaign in Pennsylvania. He said, before going any further, I want to say God bless to the people of Israel. They're under attack right now. It was Saturday was during a campaign rally. He said, that's because we show great weakness. This would not happen. The weakness that we've shown is unbelievable. It would not have happened if we were in office. You know that. They know that. Everybody knows that. But America prays for Israel. He said, we send our absolute support to everyone in harm's way. The former president continued, this is an attack that would have not happened. And to think about that, we have to go through, and the things we've put up with the border, with no energy independence, with all electric cars. But we will return the world to peace through strength, and it'll happen very quickly. I will revive American strength abroad and will restore American strength at home. We were respected 4 years ago all over the world. Today we are considered a joke. It's not going to be for long. Believe me, it's not going to be for long. Giuliani, former New York City mayor, he argued that the correct response to Iran's attack on Israel would have been to hit Iran at the earliest stages of the strike as possible. He argued that, he said, that's what former President Ronald Reagan would have done. And he said, they knew it. The world knew it. And they wouldn't pull that kind of thing on Reagan. And I think Donald Trump fits into that kind of a mold. I mean, people knew that they didn't know what he might do. And that was a good thing for America, I believe. A lot of the pastors were silent on Sundays, on this past Sunday. They just didn't talk about it. And you say, well, they were there to preach the gospel. Well, we've been through that before. But what's happening in our world, according to the Bible, is a part of the gospel that needs to be preached. People need to be informed about what's going on from a biblical perspective. The Christian Post said prominent Christian leaders worldwide are urgently calling for prayers and peace. So there were those that were speaking up. all over the country, and some of them I expected them to, and they did. But they were talking about the security in Israel after Iran initiated this assault on the country. Pastor Greg Laurie, Harvest Fellowship in California, and he has, and in Hawaii as well, he pointed to the biblical significance of the attacks. He said, as American evangelicals, we want our Jewish friends to know that we stand behind the Jewish homeland and her people. He wrote this on X, the social media. He said, this attack is on the heels of a horrific attack from Hamas, which is a proxy of Iran, on Israel on October 7th. Then he added, we pray that God Almighty will protect Israel at this hour, and we are to pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Psalm 122:6. One of the signs of the end times is an increase in anti-Semitism and the increasing isolation of the state of Israel. We are certainly seeing that happen before our very eyes. Pastor Greg Laurie. Jack Hibbs, senior pastor of Chino Hills, California, he said this could be the hook that is set into the jaw of Gog, in the Gog and Magog of Ezekiel 38. He said that would be Russia, and if Russia gets involved, we could see Ezekiel 38 unfold. A lot of great scholars believe that the rapture could happen before the Ezekiel battle, said Hibbs. And he's urging his followers to spread the word and to pray and to be aware of our times. And that's the position that we in the church should take. Pastor Robert Jeffress at Dallas First Baptist Church recently said, and this was before this weekend, it was about a weekend or so ago, I think, when he said, he shared how Christians can prepare for the end times and its misconceptions. He said the next event on the biblical prophetic timeline, he said, it's coming. We've been in the last days for 2,000 years. But he said, I think we can honestly make the case that we're in the last days of the last days before the rapture of the church. He said, the most important thing is not trying to guess when Jesus is coming back, but realize he is coming again, and we sure want to be prepared to meet him. And that was the message that kind of captured my spirit and my mind over this whole weekend of what happened. We could get into the details, and yet, if we take a step back, Jesus is coming. Is this Gog and Magog? It could be. I don't know, but things are definitely coming to a head, and we are seeing these things preparing to come to pass in our time. So we'll keep talking about this as needed as we go forward. Thanks for being with me today, and thank you for your support. We need it. I'll see you right here tomorrow.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.